Folks, welcome back to the NBC Network, the BizWord channel. Videos, Hurricane H, new day, new show, new topic. Well, not so new because we have a reappearance, and it is new because we have some new action, new things happening with my guest, and a lot of improvement from not improvement, but a lot of innovation, I would say, and another milestone that's happened in his world and midst, and it's pretty good stuff, exciting stuff. He was one of my first guests to actually even to talk about Web3 and enlighten us about what Web3 commerce and all that good stuff is. So he is back, Eric McHugh, the visionary behind ShopX Labs and Data Inc. And he returns with deeper insights today, a sharper strategy, and a renewed mission with a lot more tech available to us and to the world. So, Eric, welcome back, man.
Hey man, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be back and ready to add some value.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, the last time we talked about ShopX and Data Inc. and like all how it all integrates and this whole new world, which is, I think, the future. And I'm gonna tell you something. I'm working on a project that I can't share much about right now, but you've inspired some of that, and I would say in public right now. So you can take that to the bank one day when that's all happening. You can say, like, you know what? I introduced Hurricane to the ideology of all this and gave him a lot more clarity about it. So everything I do now, I was like, can we integrate Web3 and make it like something of that nature? And and it's a happening world. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it is the future of just the business world. And if you're not there, I think you stated this before, that's where it's going to be. I mean, and people that are not catching up may have a little difficult time, in the future with a lot of things between AI, Web3, NFTs, blockchain, all that good stuff, which is all, mingled in ones. And that's one thing, right? That you're an expert in. But before we get on to, I mean, I'm mumbling right now. People are like, what is this guy talking about? So Eric, let's go back a little bit, just, before we get into a deep dive of what's happening, today in your world, let's go back to ShopX and Data Inc. and anything that you wanted to share a little bit more about Web3. Because again, it is not something that we hear about on TV all the time or in mass, discussions. So, guide us, enlighten us a little bit, especially those people that are just watching and listening for the first time.
Yeah, sure. And dude, I'm honestly really excited about your project, and I'm sure it will do well. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, thank you.
In ShopX land, it kind of went through death and rebirth. So ShopX is no more, and the company we're focused on is Aces.Fun, and that's creating a derivative market around luxury RWAs. So essentially, that's tokenizing a luxury product, like tokenizing a watch, tokenizing like your cap token, whatever. And then you can get derivatives or stock. It's like a stock market for commerce products. And this drives a lot of attention to the products. And the long-term benefit of tokenizing the world's products is it creates that physical to digital link so they can know who has this product, then they can drop e-commerce benefits like we were with ShopX. And something that I think you would love personally is, so ShopX was a great learning experience and Aces.Fun is the next evolution of that. But the same group I'm working with ShopX, we launched a fund called Holon Labs. Essentially, Holon is like we're all part of the same circle. So everything that benefits me benefits you. So like we're all part of the same chain. And what we're doing is we're leveraging AI to crank out products that benefit the world. So for example, with ShopX, we built that technology. We paid around like $2 million to build out the tech. It took like around a year with a like one of the top development studios. But with AI, because now people can leverage their own talents, the amount it would take around 3 months and around 10 to 20K to build what took a year and mi like a $2 million. So Holon Labs, the concept is as is crank out a bunch of projects, see which ones products that do good for the world, see which ones are doing well, focus on those, bring those up, because it's like planting a bunch of seeds. Wherever your attention goes, it grows. So that's a whole side tangent. But what I really want to talk about is dating, because that's now live in the App Store. And what that is, it's the first ever AI-powered matchmaking service. So it solves a bunch of problems that current dating apps face. So for example, Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, Match.com, whichever one you want to say, I would say the three main problems are, and I think human connection is really important for human happiness. And so, like we were talking about earlier, social media, dating apps, they sent that in a negative direction. So the three main problems with dating apps are, first, it's hot or not. So let's be real. Like you go on Tinder or Hinge or whatever. It's like, are they good looking? Yes or no? Swipe left, swipe right, solely based on that. And that creates a skewed marketplace where the top 5% of the users on the app are getting access to everyone on the app. So people who are actually equivalent level aren't even seeing each other. And the third and most interesting issue, which I find, is the incentive structure behind the app. So let's say Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, or whatever, they match a happy couple. What does this mean? It means the happy couple then leaves the app, and then that results in them losing a paying customer. So they're incentivized to rely on churn marketing, which is essentially keeping someone on a fair sale. So if you ever hear about someone download the app, like me personally, I've downloaded the app, delete the app, download the app, delete the app, download the app. It's all by design. And dating is poised to fix that.
Well, yeah, it's amazing, right? It's this whole thing about dating, right? It's there's the old school way, then there's this whole thing about the data, the dating apps and the matching, platforms, and now you're taking it to the digital space, and it's AI based, and it's a whole different level of connection. And I think, as you said, the way it was designed, was kind of, I guess it had its own time. I mean, let's call it for what it is. I mean, like everything else, there is an invention, there is some sort of a innovation in the space, and it gets its own movement, and then it becomes obsolete. It's replaced by the next best thing. And again, with AI now, with all the tech, and it's amazing how things can evolve. But also, there's a learning phase. We've learned a lot, as you said, with all the use and the abuse, the different results and the statistics and the data that emerge from all these platforms, especially in the dating space. And so now you kind of, and I know that's a baby of yours, and now you evolve it again, further. So let's break down, I mean, literally, like, how different is it, and what are some of the key features?
Yeah, sure. So I can just walk you through the whole process of dating. And for me personally, I think people, I do, per, with my dating life, I do better when I meet people in person. So if I see a girl in the grocery store or whatever I'm doing naturally, I'm comfortable doing the cold approach and seeing how it goes. 'Cause I think people can feel people's energy much better in person. So I think that way should continue. But the reality is a lot of people are turning towards dating apps and easier ways to date. And the reason is it's just like a rejection thing. It's like, people are scared of rejection. It's a lot easier to swipe, swipe, swipe than approach, get rejected. And so if people are going that direction, we might as well give them another option. So what dating does is we auto-generate dating profiles based on your digital footprint and the way you chat with Cupid. And we create matches based on those dating profiles that were created. So let's say you were to create a dating app. You would create an account with dating. You connect your social media accounts. It would do a scan, and then it would generate tags based on your digital, like your photos, your Twitter, your Pinterest, all that stuff, and it would give you like a correlation. So it'd be like biking 0.8 into Italian food 0.6 point whatever for a bunch of hundreds of different tags, and then it would create matches based on those tags. And the cool thing is, as you update your life because people change, the more you talk to Cupid, the more social media accounts you link, those tags auto-generate and auto-update. And the more matches you accept, the more matches you reject. Again, it keeps updating those tags, so it's always in the best position to find you that match. And the cool thing about dating is with Tinder, Hinge, and Bumble, the longer you're on the app, the more likely you are to stay on the app. But with dating, the longer you're on the app, because it's constantly learning, because AI is really good at pattern recognition at scale and learning. So the longer you're on the app, it's learning about you. It's getting better at matching you. The longer I'm on the app, it's doing the same thing. But since we're both on the app, it's learning about us both. It's going to pick up patterns based on both of what we say we want. It's going to recognize those that humans would miss, and it will get better. So imagine that by like 1,000 people, it's going to get really good at picking up those patterns and creating good matches. And the cool thing is, after the match is made, it can switch to a relationship butler. So like, let's say I match with someone, we have our dating app, we have our little chat. I can tag Cupid and we can ask it about ourselves. So like, I've been matched with someone, it's like, hey, Cupid, introduce a fun game that we can play that's non-intrusive that could help break the ice. It did that. And then I was messing around with my friends, like, hey, Cupid, we're having relationship issues. He's not talking enough. How would you handle this? And the disaster, of course, so the obvious example is, hey, Cupid, what should we do in our first date? Can you plan something in LA? Or yeah, can you plan something in LA? It gives us a good suggestion. And I tested this out personally by ours. I had a date planned. I knew where I wanted to go. But then I asked Cupid, I'm like, hey, Cupid, I'm with this match. Where should we go? And it recommended the place I'm going to go, which is Elefante in Santa Monica down to the T. And the reason it's so effective is because it's one of the most personalized AI chat experiences that you can have. So you know when you're on ChatGPT, it's learning about you constantly, but it's only learning about what you've told it. With Cupid, it's built on top of ChatGPT, so it's learning about you and your chats, and it's incorporating all the digital foot, all your social media accounts. So it's like a super powered, super smart version of ChatGPT that's customized to you. And one of the flaws with AI that I've noticed is usually one-sided, meaning like my friend, he uses ChatGPT for his dating, and he uses ChatGPT for his dating life. So he's like sending pictures, like, how do you respond to this? What does this mean? What does it mean? I'm like, dude, don't you realize this is just a reflection of you? Because the ChatGPT is giving you responses based on what it knows about you. So it's missing the other part. But with us, you have two people, two Cupids, chatting with deep knowledge of their digital footprint, and it gives the best responses that way. And something cool, it's not just for dating anymore. It's like our app, if you have a current partner, you can create an account, automatically link with your partner, match with them. We could match as friends, like, hey, we're both in the same town, we're both visiting Vegas, what would we do? Me and my friends, we just use it to kind of roast each other. So we're into Pokemon, we're just like, all right, which Pokemon are you? And it gives out data like that, so you can do a bunch of fun things with that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to you. There's a lot there. I mean, one of the things is, first of all, you mentioned Cupid a couple of times, and so everybody knows what Cupid is. But it is your AI sidekick, so your version, you know, advanced ChatGPT or advanced GPT, you know, AI sidekick for the app that is actually helping, you know, to get the data and kind of manipulate the data and kind of spit out information and learn about you and so on and so forth and connect. Right? I mean, am I getting that right? The picture.
Correct. Yeah. So the company's name is Dating, and the AI avatar is Cupid. That's her name. We thought it was Cupid.
It makes sense. That's what I'm saying. Like, people know what that is, and just in from the Valentine's and all the good stuff and the love stories. But you know, I love the concept that you throw that in as your AI avatar concept. But it's pretty cool because, as you said, you know, when you talk about AI, I mean, anyone who first of all, for those that have not gotten to the age of AI and really maximize use of GPTs in whatever they are, they're different, you know, AIs out there, but ChatGPT being the big one and Gemini and some other stuff. But really, you know, there is a lot of ways to operate with that. And as you said, it does learn about you. The more you work with it, the more you train it to know you, it's going to operate in your realm, kind of respond to your needs and stuff. But, you know, as you said, it's only you. Now, if it responds to your queries, it's probably going to talk in general about what's, if you give it a description of someone, they're going to give you more or less what they would like, but it's not really personalized. To your point, when you have it through the app, it's really data, you know, it takes both sides and kind of figures out which one's the best core match. And then, voila, you get a nice little link, a little action, you know, where you have the right match, let's call it for what it is, right? I mean, it's just a unique opportunity there. But here's the thing. You talked about the idea of it looks through your social, it looks through your, you know, research, all the stuff, right? You know, so it kind of understands and knows more about you than just what you put in there. Now, what about the people that are not really in social media? Now, they have an app that they can operate within, but they're not really present. A lot of people may not be as open in social media, right? Especially about their personal life. How does that work? Is there a learning phase for that? Does it actually take that in consideration, or is it just basically is going to be more limited?
Yeah, no. So we totally thought about that, and we understood, because at first we make it for social media users, and we realized, oh, a bunch of people are private, so that won't work for them. So social media accounts, the more social media accounts, that just gives it a bigger base of data to start with, just because obviously the more accounts you link, the more data it gets, the better matching it can get for you. But on top of that, that's one way it generates tags is the social media accounts. But the other way it can generate tags is by you interacting with Cupid. So if you interact with Cupid, it's going to be like, okay, hey, how's your day? What are you up to? I'm going to the gym. Oh, what are you working? And then it gathers data that way. So gathers data conversationally. And the more you chat with it, that's another way to generate tags. The more matches it shows, like you reject, accept, it generates tags on that. So if you don't have social media, you just have to chat with Cupid and tell it about your day. And then it's good at picking that up.
So in essence, you know, you kind of develop a, you know, like a profile, right, of yourself, you know, ongoing. Yeah. So it kind of recognizes anything that changes with you, you put it there. So it kind of knows exactly how you behave, what you want, your needs, your wants, your everything, right?
Yes. So like the more you chat with it, because again, people change. Like, let's say I get a hobby, I start playing. Well, I've been wanting to play pickleball for a while. So if I pick a pickleball, I keep it playing pickleball. Do you know any pickleball courts around me? It picks up that I like to play pickleball. It picks that I'm new, so I'm probably not that into it. But then it just adjusts from there. And the cool thing is, with it, since it's AI, the dating profile, so like if you have a match, you can be like, okay, tell me about this person. It gives you like a rundown of who they are. It auto updates with the new tags you're generating. So your profile is always updating with what you're up, with your current interests and hobbies and all that stuff, or whatever you want to tell.
Wow, I mean, listen, I mean, it's the next generation, I would say, right? And now this is open publicly, right? Everywhere, worldwide, doesn't matter who, what. I mean, how about languages and stuff? I mean, how does that work if two people kind of connect, from different parts of the world? Maybe the language is a barrier, and they're still kind of, So let's say I put it, my request there and my information, and I'm looking for so and so, and is there a chance that someone can be matched, although they may not have the same language? I'm not, because some, I mean, in real life, people do meet even when they don't speak the language. They kind of communicate with minimum, and we've heard stories about that, even books about that. I mean, back in the days, we had pen friends, that actually never met with each other, right? So how does that work? I mean, is that something that is even considered in the process?
So right now the app is just live in the United States and it's focused on LA just because that's where we're from. But again, the way we're growing is two parts. We're doing a countrywide approach and a local approach. The local approach is an In-N-Out model. So In-N-Out was it, the next In-N-Out that was built was in within driving distance of the last one. Because again, if we're based in LA, it doesn't make sense to match on in New York and LA. But if we can get SoCal first and spread to NorCal, great. And then the second way we're growing is we're trying to figure out our next city. So again, we're launching campaigns, ads, influencers, all that stuff. So we're seeing where people are naturally signing up, and we're using that as a heat map, gonna pick that out. So we're not global yet. But once we're global, let's say we are global, or let's say you match with someone in a different language. You're just like, I really want to match with someone who only speaks Spanish for whatever reason. Like, who knows? That's your thing. And so like, you tell Cupid, find me someone who speaks predominantly Spanish, who can speak to me in Spanish. That's what I want. It'll pick that up. And then it'll show you someone in Spanish. And then when you match, she only speaks Spanish, she speaks English. So there's no way of communication. That's where the AI is actually probably one of the best things to do, because you can just say within the chat, just do at Cupid, translate this to Spanish for me. It translates it. She says at Cupid. She says in Spanish. It translates back to you. And then you can ask, okay, then you can take it from there. So just like you can ask ChatGPT anything, just at Cupid within the match, you can ask whatever you want. It's like, what should we eat? Where should we go? We don't even speak the language, same language. What's a food we both like that's not Spanish or English? And it'll pick up from that.
Well, Eric, someone was like, why is Eric asking this question? We're talking high tech right now, AI, it's next gen stuff, and we already have, like Meta has, these glasses with interpretation and translation instant stuff, right? You have even these little AirPods that they sell all over the place that kind of speak, different languages, or at least translate different things. So it gets to a point eventually that the language was not even being, you're gonna have universal translations happening real time, where people can still match even though they may not speak the same language. I mean, I'm just thinking about, next phase maybe, right? If that ever happens, it seems that you already have that. That's not a problem. It's just a quick tweak, and
No,
you're
it's
done
all right.
already.
Yeah, it's already there. We just have to get the users who speak the different languages. The next phase I personally want to see is I want to bring back in real life matches. So let's say hypothetically people are on the dating app. They're both on dating, push notifications are turned on. I can walk into the Starbucks. It should be able to pick up my location and should be able to pick up someone else on the app who's in the Starbucks as well. It could ping us for a live date and then it could, hey, Eric, there's whatever girl. This is the description of her. She'd be a good match for you. She's on the app. I recommend you make a cold approach, because that brings back my thing of the cold approach in person, but it's like a data-driven one where it's like, eh, okay, the water's already warm. So that's something I personally want to bring back. Something we tried building out earlier, but it just didn't take off, as we were building on an augmented reality version, because, well, we were incorrect. Maybe we were early or something about that, but we thought that, Apple released the AR VR
Yeah,
headset.
correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so we thought the, like it's out, but not
Let's
completely.
meet. Let's meet virtually.
Yeah, so you can. There was gonna be a virtual component. We can bring that back anytime. The reason we chose not to focus on that is because we had the groundwork laid out, but we thought it would pick up farther or faster in the sense, like, I thought they were following the iPhone model where it's like when you first join out, it's like really expensive. Not too many have it, but now everyone has an iPhone. So I think they're copying that. So when that picks up steam, we can easily implement there. So we can be one of the first AR, VR virtual dates too. And that's another way for people to meet, whereas like you can match on the app. Then you can meet in VR, and then if you want, you can meet in person. And I think that's where the language thing I think is a little more feasible too. It's like, yeah, I can meet with anyone online, and it can find me my equivalent in Spain, Japan, whatever, because it has that data, and it can really connect people too. Like it's a connecting app at its heart.
It is. It is. Well, I mean, again, this world is fascinating because, I mean, you can literally, you and I, we could be now in Zoom, but we can certainly be on a real VR, exchange, and you can be sitting in front of me with your avatar. I'm here. Even some avatars can be just as realistic as you and I, and we can get to know each other a little bit more and just have a normal discussion in an environment. And then as G4, and if we kind of vibe well enough, maybe now we can go and do business together, or in this event, you know, have a real date and connect that way. But that's you know, it's already, it seems that it's a technology that's not a big deal, and you already have it in place, and so it would work easily. Now, a big question that's always in the minds when people are kind of meeting virtually somewhat is safety. Now, with AI, I mean, there's a lot more ability to access data and so on and so forth, you know, meaning like, you know, what's available out there, any problems with this individual and stuff like that. Is there such a thing where your algorithms and all that are kind of looking for these things if someone has been flagged, you know, anywhere in any type of capacity? Because people are always like, you know, there's always a discussion like creepy this, creepy that, you know, I didn't know this person had a background or whatever. Are there any provisions for that?
Yeah, so we have a scanning feature where it's like, okay, like any, I don't want to go into details exactly, we're looking for like any major crimes, any giant red flags. Mm-hmm. We're looking into that so it can flag, like, oh, check out this profile. But something I personally don't want to do and is just auto ban people. And the reason for that is, so it'd be like, okay, check out these profiles. Do you want to kick them off? And then a human can actually look into it. And the reason for that is one of my friends had experience. So I've always thought that AI was going to be like the someone who gives like the, who scans social media and flags accounts. And one of my friends, she ran an Instagram shop, her account, and like she's a mom, so she was swimming with her kid, like as a boy, he's just swimming shirtless. And then that auto flagged as inappropriate content. And then her shop got taken down. And then it took like weeks for that to get replaced. And in that whole meantime, that was her livelihood. She's losing revenue, and that's not good. So we want to do like a human flagging system, but a human would make the final call. But yeah, we are monitoring for just like, let's say like a serial killer joins. It's like, okay, well, yeah.
But anyone that is public, yeah. But I appreciate that because you're right. I mean, you know, some of these, like the platforms that exist today, I mean, you know, I've had shows that had nothing wrong with them, but because of the title, because of this, and it gets flagged, and it's like, it's the guidelines, like, no, then you send in, you know, either dispute or whatever, they look it up, and okay, you're back. But, you know, you're right, it's an aggravation, because, you know, sometimes it doesn't ask, you know, scale up or escalate to a human, you know, review, and you get caught up with the response that are auto, you know, AI driven stuff. It's a pain, but you're right. So, but you have the feature, you have the ability, but you just have a secondary kind of stage for next level, I guess, just check, right? Or you know, discussion, right? So you look it up, you know, you think it's appropriate, you know, it's good. If not, then you can just flag that person, the individual, and that's it. Now let's talk about this stuff. Now it's available. And by the way, I love the strategy that you're rolling out slowly but surely, phase by phase, you know, closer, and then you're moving up and expanding it. And as people get more vibe to it and, you know, get more hip to it, they'll just love it. I mean, certainly like everything else, right? Starts small and then grows. So you're actually scaling slowly and expanding it. And I mean, it is innovative. It's taking it to the next level. Maybe I can see even a version of this that is just purely business, you know, like LinkedIn version.
like a better version of that. And we were actually tested this out where one of our we were working with a focus group from the colleges, and we were working with a team called Ascend. And what they do is they match college students with apps like ours to create like it's a learning experience for the students, and we get feedback. So they work with many colleges across, and even the guys like saying like, hey, I mean, this is cool. I could use this to match students from different schools or students with different companies at a different level. And business-wise, it works too. It's like, we actually did that for a business too. Like a couple of weeks ago, we had an in-person team work session in Santa Monica. I was just house sitting my brother's dog, so I don't even know the area too well. They don't know the area too well since they don't live there. So like, hey, we're meeting for this. Cupid, where should we meet? And then it actually suggested a place we all liked. It was like, okay, looks like we're getting Thai food, and it did all of that. So it can help suggest those work experience, like a plan, a fun working event amongst teams. It can totally do that. It can match teams with, like, it can match an employee with an appropriate mentor at a higher level that would vibe with them well, and vice versa. It can match friends. Cause again, like if you're working, like maybe you want to find a buddy at work, it can help you with that as well.
No, I mean, I can completely see it as another version where it's really, you know, your business version, your personal life version, and you can have both. I mean, it's like, yeah, Facebook, LinkedIn. I mean, you can have, you know, one for business opportunities where you can match business to businesses, you know, strategy, this experts, consultants, you know, internship, you know, concepts, you know. No, I'm just saying.
No, we could easily build that on that because now we're building the toggle wheel in different versions of the dating core. We're building out the friends feature. So if you want to find friends, you can just toggle and I'm only looking for friends. You want to find, if you're already in a couple relationship, you can be like, I'm on a couple, I don't want to match one, and that takes you out of the queue. We can easily add a business version as well. And again, like you can also match businesses, like let's say you're a business, like let's say you're a brand, it's like I want to find ambassadors who actually vibe my brand, who have looked at,
Affiliates.
yeah, you can do a bunch of stuff with it. And I'm sure that'd be beneficial for affiliates too. Like, who, what kind of person would be like trying to find an affiliate job, or what kind of person would be trying to find a sales job? Well, based on the digital footprint, based on the interest, I think they crush at your company. So, yeah.
I can see it. I mean, you have all, I mean, the concept is almost the same. I mean, it's still matching two entities, right, with various stuff, and it's just that the intelligence will be built based on business, products or business concepts, right? Companies, internships, consulting services and expertise and so on and so forth based on industries, whatever. So you can do it. I mean, again, I'm not, it's your business, but I can see that opportunity as well for you. And so, hey, listen, go for it. Go big, baby. You're thinking different. You're thinking smarter, intelligent AI future. And then certainly, and by the way, I'm not taking away from anyone that just, that put things like, the matching apps and all the stuff in the past. All these are innovations, they're just progression, right? There's always a transition from the old to the new to the next, right? And so you're doing that, and that's all there is. So, congratulations. I mean, you have a niche and you're making it happen and you're building there. So that's cool stuff. So what else? What else is new with that? I mean, anything else that we should know about the app, and maybe where to access it? I guess the usual, Google and iOS, whatever, the Apple Play.
So we chose to build on Apple first, just because most of our potential users will be on Apple, but we're building out the Android version right now. So if you're an iPhone user, just check out our Instagram. It's in the link, or just search it up in the App Store and you should find it. Download it, create an account. If you want to test out the software, you can just add one of your homies or friends and you can match with them, see how it works. And then, yeah, the more users join, the better it is for you to be on early.
What about affordability? I mean, I'm sure there's a a cost.
Right now, it's completely free because we're an early stage startup. That's something we want to keep that way because we feel that paying for, like, we don't want, you know, other apps are like kind of pay to play, where it's like you pay, if you don't pay, you're not getting shown in front of people. If you don't pay, you're not getting shown the good matches. We feel that messes with the integrity of the algorithm. So, but of course, for business, we want to make money. Money is a neutral thing. You can make money in good ways, you can make money in bad ways. But because we have so much data, and we there are ways, two ways we want to monetize right now. And the first is, A, we want to build it so a user can book a date within the app. So it's like, hey, you like the date, dating suggested a good date, book within the app, we will get a cut. Right now, we're working on building out group dates, so group events. So it's like, hey, you're in LA, this cool Huntington Gardens is cool. So we would buy the bulk tickets, and then it would find the people who'd actually want to attend the event, and you can meet people who actually like who aren't. Don't want to do one-on-one date, but they would just want to meet a group of people into someone interest. So that's another revenue model. And I think the coolest revenue model is because we have so much data is we can sell the data, like not even sell the data, but sell different versions of the data. It's like, hey, Eric, if you want to send a two pair, like 2-page movie about you and this match, just pay $1 and they can send it for you. It's like, oh, based on your zodiac signs, what do you want to do? And then so
A
you can,
service.
yeah, it's like a service, actually a service. So it can show more of your data for a monetary cost, and people seem to like that. Because
Wow. What?
it doesn't mess with like the core matching feature. That's something we want to avoid, where it's like we don't want someone to pay for a date and just have like a massive advantage over everyone else.
Well, I mean, listen, you're obviously, and I love the concept that it's free. So it is accessible, and so that piece of it is what it is. But you found other ways to kind of monetize it to support it. I mean, obviously it's a business, right? You got to make sure that you take care of all your, your company and your team and your technology, because technology is not cheap. I mean, obviously with AI, as you said, I
It's
love
getting
what you
cheaper.
said. You went from 2 million to 12,000. I mean,
Yeah.
when you start thinking about that, it's like, damn, that's what the power of AI is. And we're actually, to be honest with you, we're just scratching the surface. I mean, this
Oh
thing is
yeah.
just
It's
evolving. I
just
mean,
starting.
it just started. I mean, I you know, like again, I got involved in, like, and since we've talked, I've been more into it. And bro, I have to tell you, man, folks, it's a whole different world. I mean, and I know this is probably beyond the discussion today, but this whole thing with, I have kids in college. I mean, my daughter is like, oh, you can't use your phone, you can't use this. Like, Who the hell says you can't do other stuff? I mean, we live in, you can talk to an AI and it can do calculations for you. You don't even need to calculate yourself. I mean, that was the way we did it before, just because that's how you did it before. You had no other choice. I mean, you know, instead of me spending time to do something with manual labor and doing PowerPoints and doing all this stuff myself, I mean, it's a true story. You know, that there was a friend of mine was actually, they got approached for a job and you know, a high level job. And then he was asked to actually put a PowerPoint together, an Excel spreadsheet together, you know, as part of the interview process. I'm like, seriously, I mean, dude, you know, who the hell? I mean, you know, first of all, you can, anybody today at a basic minimum can do a PowerPoint. It's not, you know, so, you know, rocket science. And frankly, you chat, I need a PowerPoint about this, that, the other, you throw in a couple of things and you're going to get it, or any other AI that you have. I mean, companies should have their own AIs now, you know, to just do these things. You don't even have to. It's you just go on the computer and do it. I mean, I think the next computer generations will have that already built in. Just PowerPoint, click, go. I mean, I think PowerPoint themselves will think about it, having their own AI just to have it as their new version of how they do it. So the concept is we're evolving to a place where instead of me spending time on things that are manual, I can use the AI to help me, you know, 90% of the time, you know, or even 50% of the work is done, which means it gives me more, you know, focus on what meets, you know, the eye, what we need to do, like the real core, you know, of whatever task it is. So it's different. But I mean, to your point, I mean, it's the next wave. This is it, man. And we have to really get on, you know, on this ship or this train, this plane, whatever you want, or this shuttle. I mean, we're going to Mars right now. So let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, people are probably like, well, Hurricane, you're losing the cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
He's right.
Listen, to your point, I mean, this is your world. I mean, to me, it's all new. Now, I mean, we're two different generations. So I'm 53. So, I mean, actually, my birthday is next week. So, you know, thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. But here's the thing, right? You know, like someone like many people may not even be into this world of AI and Web3 and in all this NFT world and blockchain and all the new way of kind of business, right? I mean, it's just a whole different thing, and it is real. It's not going anywhere. It's very safe. For example, the project I was talking about, I mean, you can hash your things, you can have them, you know, documented, you log everything in the blockchain, you mint them, it's all there. Then nobody can ever dispute, even from a legal perspective, no one can fight you anymore, because you can document things, you know, historically, and it's done. There's no one that can do anything about them, right? And they can fight, you know, you have the origin story, right? So you have things that are like amazingly available to us in tech. And yeah, some people can say, well, it's dangerous. And as it could be dangerous for some, I guess, industries, for some things. But I heard an expert the other day that really kind of made sense. I forgot. I think it was one of the core CEOs. I forget which one. Was it NVIDIA? I think it was NVIDIA's executive CEO. And I think what he said is like, AI is, it's really the people, it's not the danger, it's the people that are not taking, you know, advantage of AI, they're going to be obsolete. You know, it's there for us as humans, so we can take it and make it work, you know, and use it as a tool. And those that are not in with the program are the ones that are going to be behind. So it's not that it's a danger to us. It's a danger to someone who is not, you know, the ones that are going to miss are the ones who are not taking, you know, that wave and really get, you know, using the benefit of it. So, and I kind of agree. I mean, I love that concept. I mean, at least the idea is there. I mean, you're the expert. What do you think of that?
No, I 100% agree. The way I look at technology is I think technology is inherently neutral. It's up to the people using the technology and the people building technology to give it a positive or negative spin. So AI, just like a knife, I can use a knife to commit a crime. I can use a knife to cut a piece of pizza for my friends. Was a good use, there's bad use, and me, the user, I'm determined to use it a good use. So AI is just like that. And I think the really cool thing about AI is it helps people in two different ways. Like you mentioned, first off, I think your friend's applying to be a consultant or something, but I think AI is useful in two different ways. First off, it, like you said, a bunch of the manual busy work is just completely gone. And what this does is it frees up your mind, your time, your energy, which is the most important resource for your creative endeavors that you actually want to do. And then on the flip side, with your creative endeavors, AI enhances your ability to do those things too. So it frees up time to do stuff and it makes it better.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you went from a year or 2 years of build up to 3 months.
Yeah, that's insane. Cheaper,
I mean,
too.
Just, exactly. So think about it.
Smaller team, too.
Time,
like,
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I've experienced it. I mean, I do tasks now, like in heartbeats. I mean, literally, I can just, I need this, that, the other. Okay,
boom. Bang, bang,
And
bang.
I mean, for the media part, for everything. I mean, it's like I have a system. I have like multiple AIs that I'm using, and for everyone is doing something. I mean, it's like having your own little, you know, minions working for you at the same time, making things happen in real time. So you can do more in less time and really produce higher level quality. That's the other thing. I mean, it's not that it's taking your mind, like it's like you still guide it. You it's not just gonna give you stuff. You gotta tell it what to do, how to do it. Sometimes it makes a mistake and you gotta tell, no, I need this, I need that, and tweak it and work with it. But it, you know, it is there for you. And as you said, it learns. The more you work with it, the more it becomes literally your avatar. It's
a reflection of you.
It's a portion of you. Yeah, it understands you. I mean, if you ask it, you know, like you are a stranger to my AI, if you ask it about me, it's going to tell you everything about me, you know, because it knows everything that I've, you know, kind of put it in there. So it kind of makes a difference, right? Now, someone's like, oh, we're going to go ask ChatGPT about hurricane right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Good luck.
I think that's going to be a new form of Google search in the future. It's just asking AI about something, which is why podcasts like this are extremely helpful, because it.
I don't use Google anymore. Yeah. I really don't. I just ask ChatGPT, you know, can you do this, this, you know, what's this? And it gives you everything you want. I don't even have to go. It does the research for you. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't catch you.
No, it's awesome. And honestly, I think that's one of the greatest benefits of podcasting from a Google search perspective. Because you think of this podcast as our audience is both the combination of your audience and my audience, which is great because, again, your audience learns about me, my audience learns about you. It's a win-win. But not only that, our audience is the AI that's transcribing this whole conversation. So the more content you put out, the better it's going to be in the future when people use AI to come up. So if someone searches Eric McHugh, hurricane could come up. Or someone searches hurricane, this whole conversation could come up. And like dating, what we do is we auto-generate those, like, takes tons amount of data and auto-generates those tags. It'll take this long, hour-long conversation and then summarize it and give people summarized versions of that. So it'll be more succinct, but it's going to help us both in the long run.
Oh, it is. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're in podcasts and talk show now mode, but even on social media for reels and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of creators that are using AI, you know, to benefit. I mean, to share value, to share information, and it just it's really making the world. And again, this is not a show about AI particularly, but certainly your business is built on AI, you know, concept construct today. So it's really, you know, it is what it is. It's just the way of the future. Now my question, I know Web3 for you is big. Any integration in your space for this the dating app, you know, now or later, or how do you see all that?
Personally, I would like to keep them separate just because I've learned from, because my past companies, like, it would integrate Web2 businesses into Web3, which would integrate their customers, and that was a kind of a harder task. So I don't think a bunch of people who are just looking to date or meet friends want to integrate Web3 into AI. So I think it has to be done on the back end. I see Web3 and AI actually working beautifully together to honestly just to uplift society. And like, think about it this way, like, imagine I'm Filipino, so I use myself as an example. Let's say I was born in the Philippines 50 years ago. Okay, I'm born in the slums. That's just kind of my life. That's very likely to end up that way. But with AI, I can leverage my talents, my skills, my interests to produce products that serve people at a quicker rate. And then I can use Web3 and blockchain to integrate into a global system. So I could produce like an e-commerce store that's my passion with AI. Create a website, create a Shopify account, do all this, bang, bang, bang. I make it, and then I can access a global Web3 ecosystem that exists. So, like, if I want to tokenize my products, create RWAs, and sell them across to you, or, like, let's say, the cool thing about tokenizing products is everyone becomes their own Amazon. So if everyone becomes their own Amazon, like, you could sell Nike, Reebok, whatever products on your website, and if you sell it, you get a commission. So everyone's selling everyone's products. So I could sell stuff on my website, I can sell stuff on your website, the ownership unlocks the product. If AR VR becomes a thing, the tokenized product, that's what gets you in. I mean, that's the proof that you actually own the product. You're a Nike core customer, you can enter the Nike lounge, you can do a bunch of stuff. So Web3 will enable access to a global economy that's more fair. It's now the thing about Web3, which brought me into it, which I think is coming back, is I think it fixes a big incentive structure that's broken right now. So right now in our current landscape, the incentive, if you want to become rich, the easiest way to do that without producing any work is to extract as much value as possible. So that's why you see people in government, people in politics getting so rich. And what they're doing is they're positioning themselves in an extracting role. So they're taking a bunch of money and not really producing value for that. But in Web3 and Bitcoin, the only way for you to get rich is to generate value for you. So like, let's say if I wanted your dollars, how would I get your dollars? I would place myself right next to the Federal Reserve and extract as much as I can, and that effectively takes from me and you. But if I want your Bitcoin, I want your tokenized e-commerce product, I want your RWA, I want your NFT, the only way for me to get your NFT is for me to create something. The only way for me to get your NFT, your Bitcoin, your whatever, your cryptocurrency, I have to create something of value for you, and then you voluntarily give it to me. And with AI, it's a lot easier for me to create something of value for you because, again, like you, all of like,
Recognize, yeah.
yeah. So like, if I can create more so of value, I can earn more Bitcoin. So I think that's how those two work. And again, if everyone's focused on creating value for the world, that just uplifts everyone. And the cool thing is, I think people are happiest when they're serving other people anyways. Like if you make money in a bad way, like I'm sh like if you make money in a bad way, you feel bad about yourself. Yeah. But if you make money serving someone, you feel great. So not only are you making more money, you're helping people, you feel better yourself. It's a win-win. And AI really helps with that because it leverages my natural talent to some thoughts in here. It helps me get physical quicker.
Well, listen. I mean, I have to say, it is a fascinating word. And again, I just do ask people if you're out there and you haven't caught up with it, just try, give it a try. It's a whole chain game changer, man. So if you're out there, just start testing it and feeling it and work with it, play with it. It's going to make a difference. And you're right, there's value in all this, and especially again, as you mentioned, for tokenizing, products and so on and so forth, and all this cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and all this stuff. You're right. It has to have value, and you can create the value, and that's the thing. I mean, I think you've explained it the last time, whereby it's really your real estate in virtual space. I mean, in digital space. Just like we've bought and sold real estate in real world, and we still do. I mean, it's just your print, your footprint in a space that is upcoming, and a lot of people are using it, and it is kind of almost untouchable in a way. I mean, unless technology dies, it's going to go nowhere. So it's pretty safe too. So am I getting that right, or am I wrong?
But yeah, no, if technology, like the argument against Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is like, well, what if you lose access to the internet? Well, then I think we have bigger problems.
Well, I think then we're all doomed, right? Well, here's the thing. Even if that was the case, I always say you won't have access to gas, to your bank, to nothing. It happened. We had blackouts, and people could not get their money in from the bank, right? So, that's as simple as that. We had storms, and people cannot get their cash, whatever. And the banks, just there's no access to anything. You can't even pump gas in the pump, stations. So it's the same thing, folks. I mean, if technology fails at that stage, I mean, that's a whole different world. We just have to go and relearn some skills that are human skills, some of the basics. Which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, even though you can improve yourself into the world of the new AI, the tech, and all the stuff, doesn't mean you have to really remove yourself completely from the roots of who we are as humans,
No, no.
and really using the basic. I mean, like, this is just a joke. I mean, today's, and it's sad. I see from my kids, like, you lose something, in the tech, they go crazy. I mean, Wi-Fi is off, forget about it, they go nuts, right? What the hell's going on? The world is ending. I mean, you have to have a balance. I mean, I lived in, I guess, both spaces. I lived in the, I was young in a space where there was no Wi-Fi, and now I'm in a space where we have AI. So I can adjust both sides. So I keep up with the heritage there, and I also catch up, with what's innovative and things. I think a lot of people need to do that balance just to make sure, because you never know. I mean, you have to be able to have some survivor skills in this world. But not doomsday coming. But it just, since we're talking AI, and that's a question that always comes up, I always tell people, there's some basic stuff. Can
No,
you, can you, I mean, go ahead, sorry.
balance is important than anything. The cool thing about it is AI can get rid of a mundane task, and now you can go running for an extra hour and get in better shape, or learn a farm skill, or read a book, or spend time with your family. It's really there to help you. So,
That's right. I mean, and that's a perfect example. I mean, AI is not going to run for you.
no,
So there you go. I
people
mean,
will try.
maybe in a virtual space, your avatar is running, but you're not sweating, right? So maybe if they put some impulse into your brain and kind of fakes your brain and your body starts, operating a glands, maybe that's a future version of that. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, we can imagine a lot of stuff, right, that can happen, because the mind, the body, all the stuff is connected, and there's all kind of stuff that can happen. But the fact is, we still have to keep our I guess, nature in a way, but just know how to operate in the box, right? Yeah, I mean, that's all there is. There's a lot of ways. It's just you gotta evolve to it. Again, our motto is time to evolve. We just have to evolve with the times and still, know where we come from and what we have to do. Well, all right. So Eric, I know, the topic today really is your app and the innovation and how you've done and what so on and so forth. So what's next? I mean, so this is, you're going to stage it out. It's already out. People can use the iOS eventually. Google, right? So that's the, like the Apple, the Google store, right? That's also in store or not yet.
We're presently building that out. Right now we're focused on launching the Apple launch. And the cool thing about our early launch is we're getting feedback from tons of customers. So we're giving them requests that they want. So like the group dates thing, customer request. Creating group chats with your friends, customer request. And with AI, we can map the amount of time it takes to iterate and add those changes and add those features is like a day. So it's very quick. So we're in the rapid iteration phase. I'm gonna use that, gain some traction, focus on the LA launch, and just kind of go, like I said, stage it out.
Well, listen, man, congratulations. I mean, you're innovating in a space that's existing, needed, and it's going to continue being in existence. And again, I think you might be onto other things and making a multiplying into different areas, space like business, so on and so forth. So again, congratulations. I mean, and by the way, I do want to just address something because you've taught us today a lesson, and you are an innovator, an entrepreneur, CEO, and a lot of people out there are trying to do the same thing and or either learn from I guess people that are out there in the business world trying to be successful and making it happen. It is a success story, just what you shared with us. I mean, when I asked you about your, ShopX, right? The first, business you had, and even now we talked about Web3 and all that stuff and the integrations. You said it. It's just one goes, one comes. I mean, you're basically are moving things, and that's the thing. You start a business, doesn't necessarily work your way, doesn't mean it's a failure. And I just wanted to reiterate that because people sometimes they get disappointed, they get kind of, stressed out about like, oh my God, this doesn't work. And everyone, and I can see this is succeeding, in the future. You're already going there. I mean, I don't think there's any way come back, for you, for at least for the data app. And so the thing is, you've taught us a lesson that you build something, you test it out, you put it in real play, it doesn't work, you don't give up, you keep moving, you build more, you build more, and you build more. And that's actually the story of all success stories in the history of mankind. No one, all the products that we see are the final, art and work that succeeded of those people. But before that, there was a bunch of stuff that they tried that didn't work or did not, mature or, became to fruition. So it is a big deal for us as entrepreneurs of business. I mean, this is a business, channel kind of concept here today as a discussion. So understand that, folks. If you're out there trying, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Your business, you try it out, you test it out, you work it. It's okay if it doesn't work. You learn from it. You take the best of what how it didn't work and what worked, and then you apply it to something new, and you keep evolving until you get to the right, whatever that is, product, service, company, and then boom, the sky's the limit, and you're just going to be stronger and better. I mean, am I getting a lot, Eric? I just wanted to share that because I think sometimes there's value in all the discussion that we have, and sometimes we miss on these little things.
No, anti-fragility is one of the core concepts in any successful business, and it's exactly what you said. Like you learn from your mistakes, reiterate, try stuff again. It's just constant testing, confidence, constant optimization. You can't get that without failure. And if you fail, like again, I like to redefine the words of failure. It's like I view as a win as either it succeeds or you learn. So you try
That's
something,
right.
it fails, you learn. That's a win. So.
Yeah. Well, again, like you and I, we're like literally on the same frequency here because failure is not really a bad thing. It's either you learned how not to do things and how to do them better and different. And that's all there is. Because that's it. You whatever it didn't work, that's a learning. I'm not gonna do it again, but I know now how to do it better. And so you didn't lose. You might have lost time. You might have lost some money, but as you said, like, look, you establish yourself. Now you can adopt AI, as we were talking about for the last hour. And now here you go. You can shrink the next phase of whatever you build in no time with less money. And now whatever you learned from the past, you apply it in this new way, new, I guess, age and way of doing things. And voila, boom, you're done. I mean, you're like, forget. A matter of fact, truth. I mean, if you take your back, story into the AI and tell it all the stuff you did, it can actually analyze that stuff for you and tell you, like, hey, listen, well, this, that, the other, and you can debate with it, all the different things, and it will spit up a whole strategy for you that you can design yourself with it to actually move on to the next flavor of yours, and it will give you all the ways to actually enhance things. You know, so that's really real, folks. It's not a joke. What I'm saying to you, I'm working on something of that nature today, and it is using the same concept I'm just sharing right now. So for you out there, if you're thinking about something and you have some background on whatever you've done that didn't kind of pan out well, try to use the next generation, you know, with adoption of AI and technology, and kind of merge that, bring some of that, put it in there and see what you get. And you'll get a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, Eric, you know, do you want to add anything to that, or are we good?
No, like when something's good, you just leave it alone. Let it sit. That was a really, really great way to describe it, man.
Well, I appreciate it, Eric. Well, listen, Eric, I mean, I know, you know, today was specifically about the app, and I try to get as much from you as I could while I have you here. But so I appreciate you coming back and really sharing with us your next wave. And of course, keep us posted, updated. And of course, I follow you. And so anything that comes up, we'll keep sharing with the world out there. But yeah, so let's stay in touch. And as always, anything you want to leave our audiences with before we close the show today?
So what we were talking about earlier with the entrepreneurship thing is, you're first off, you're happiest when you're serving other people. You're the number one you in the world. So I'm the number one me, you're the number one you. If I try to be you, I can't beat you at being you because you're you, but at the same time, you can't beat me at being me. So if you're trying to serve as many people at scale, the logical thing to do is to do what your number one in the world is, and that's being you. So whatever your natural interests are, that's where you're most likely to succeed. And just start. That's really the thing. Just start.
And you said, we can't say anything when it's right, so I'm not going to add anything to that. Yeah. All right, folks, that's it. That's the end of the show today. Eric, thank you so much for being with us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. We'll talk soon, folks. I'm Hurricane H. I'll see you guys next time, next show. Bye for now.